in a bad mood earlier today, and I was riding behind, I was on my bike, I was riding behind a guy who was on an electric skateboard. Have you guys seen people on electric skateboards now in San Francisco? The fucking, you just, my life's a video game. You see those guys around? Those fucking assholes. I was riding right behind one of those guys on my bike, using my legs like a poor person. And I was watching him go, and he just fucking ate shit. He just fell right in front of me, and I was immediately in a better mood. I was like, you know what, life's gonna be okay. That's pretty tight. You know? It was so good. Because when he fell, he had change in his pockets. Like, just shit ton of change. So when he fell, all of his change just bounced, started clanking on the floor like he's fucking Sonic the Hedgehog. I was like, yeah, your life's a video game now, motherfucker.
What's going on? It's the Film Drunk Frotcast, coming at you not live from the Frot Quarters in San Francisco. I got Matt Ufford joining us via Skype. He is steaming some green beans. I don't know if it's going to be a salad this time, but
it's going to be a nice salad niçoise.
Oh, sweet. Oh, you got the olives going too?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's beautiful. We got Matt. We got the other Matt. Wow, I didn't even think about that. Matt Lieb is coming to join us in the studio. He's still on the bus, as you do. But he's going to join us, and we're going to talk about lots of stuff. Maybe get into some Gawker, some True Detective, some Pixels.
I don't know if there will be time.
Who knows? I saw Pixels. That was...
I'm sorry.
That was an experience.
That's probably the nicest thing you can say about it.
You know who are some really interesting people?
Adam Sandler fans?
Well, yes. People that show up on a Monday afternoon to wait in line for an advanced screening of an Adam Sandler movie.
Their lives must be fantastic.
Seems like, yeah, you got a lot going on. I mean, that's kind of thing. Like, that Pixels is one of those things you might watch, like, if it was on in a cab. Like, you might leave it unmuted for a little bit, like if it's on the back seat of a cab.
Yeah.
I feel like that's about the level of entertainment you get with that movie. And then, some people took time out of their day to show up special just to see it.
So you're not even giving it, like, the full, like, oh, it's an airplane movie? You're talking, like, a 10-minute cab ride.
It's like an airplane, yeah. It's like an airplane movie if it is the only airplane movie. Like, if you have no other options on the airplane. Even then, yeah. I'd probably rather read.
And it's more of the thing like you tweet at the airline to let them know how bad your flight was. And it's like at American Airlines, also the only movie was Pixels.
Right. Yeah. That's pretty much what it is. Well, a couple funny things about this movie. It's kind of like they had the Happy Madison movie, right?
Yeah.
And then they had this concept about how 8-bit aliens are going to attack the Earth. Which was based on that short film from a couple years ago.
Oh, the Oscar-winning, amazingly made one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for some reason, they're like, hey, we should let Happy Madison ruin this.
Like, well, we should... mission accomplished.
So pretty much like the movie is like one of those Bud Light Up for Whatever commercials where fucking Adam Sandler is just walking along in his shorts. And they're like, hey, we built like a life-size arcade for you to play in with your buddies. And then that's like the whole movie. Yeah. And so Kevin James, you know, Paul Blart, zookeeper, Paul Blart, mall cop.
Yeah, the king of Queens.
Right. So in this movie, he plays Paul Blart, the president.
What, was the president in the movie?
Kevin James is the president, but he's Paul Blart. So, like, he's still schlubby.
So like Gerald Ford.
Well, did Gerald Ford marry a woman that was too hot for him and then feel bad about it a lot?
Maybe. I don't really know my first ladies very well.
Yeah. Well, she was the alcoholic one, right? Betty Ford.
Oh, yeah. Betty Ford. So probably?
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. I have to look that one up. But so...
Google, was Betty Ford hot?
It's kind of an interesting choice. You're like, ooh, Kevin James is going to play the president. Like, maybe this will be like his breakout role. It's like, no, he just plays him as Paul Blart, like who's a president. And and then Michelle Monaghan is the love interest, but she's also a weapons designer for the Defense Department.
Oh, the Denise Richardson, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Christmas, whatever she was in the Bond film.
Yeah. So Adam Sandler, he like works for the Geek Squad, and he sort of shows up to Michelle Monaghan's house to like install her flat screen, and then the aliens attack, and they both get called into the White House because Adam Sandler is Kevin James's best friend, and the woman who he happened to be installing a TV for is a weapons designer for the Defense Department. So,
God, you know, like this is. It is kind of amazing that, like, you know, a couple days ago you texted me and was like, hey, want to be on the podcast? Yeah, sure. I love coming on. I didn't realize that it was actually going to be like, I'm going to get you online. No, it's just going to be you and me. None of the Fraudcast crew. It's going to be you and me. And I'm going to tell you in detail the plot of Pixels.
Don't you feel like you gained a lot from this experience?
I might have said no if you had framed it that way.
How dare you, sir?
So anyway, you loved it.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like if they could somehow translate how awesome it seems to have Adam Sandler's life into how fun it would be to watch his movies, I would watch all of his movies.
Yeah. Quick aside here, that tweet that I had like a month ago where I photoshopped a Sandler's like schlubby polo shirt into like a full on muumuu.
Yeah.
And the headline I put with it was, I don't know, Adam Sandler wears golf muumuu to premiere of new film Fart Vacation.
Yeah.
The sheer number of like that's the sheer number of responses I've gotten to that that are like, wait, are you serious? The number of people like I was like, is Fart Vacation pushing it too far? Like I wanted to be kind of like an Onion thing.
Uh-huh.
But like I was like, Fart Vacation's too far. People aren't gonna go for that. But there are people who are like, my man, are you kidding me? Like people are responding to it like a month later and be like, what? No way. Now he's gone too far.
So people were taking it as a real thing?
The sheer believability of the fact that A, he's wearing a calf-length golf shirt to a movie premiere, and B, he has starred in a movie named Fart Vacation, and that it's like easily believable to a good population, a good percentage of the population is terrifying.
All right, Matt's here now.
I'm back.
Sorry for the weird edit. We were just talking about how the fact that people believed that Adam Sandler actually wore a full-length golf shirt to his movie Fart Vacation based on your Photoshop, that definitely speaks volumes about the quality of his actual movies. On that note, my original headline for Pixels was denied.
It was, you mean...
voted down.
The Uproxx people were like, you can't do that.
They thought it was a little too far. Or it was too aggressive.
What was it?
It was Pixels is a fart by numbers shit painting.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I was pretty proud of that headline.
Well, why would they allow that? Which seems
basically, so I'm going to quit. I'm going to be like, what's that guy's name? Reed and Craggs.
Max Reed
and Tommy Craggs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because you know they're fucking with your integrity. You know,
mm-hmm.
they can't top down just be like, you know, hey, you can't do that. I mean, you're a journalist.
They're pouring water on the firewall between editorial mm-hmm. and higher up editorial.
Do you think that when that was happening, that they were like, guys, this is our newsroom moment, and they were just reenacting moments from the newsroom live on HBO?
I don't know. It seemed very. Yeah.
Like yeah, that, I mean, like, kind of though, right?
Like, I was just wondering, like, what's going on in your head where, like, this is the hill that you want to die on?
Yeah. Do we want to back it up a second and give a quick synopsis for the people who are blissfully ignorant of, like, media meltdowns?
Absolutely. I mean, Gawker, like, had a contest to see how much they could write about themselves in a single week, I think.
And they won. No, so, over the weekend or late Friday last week, Gawker posted like an expose of the CFO of another media company who's married to a woman, but apparently was trying to
have sex,
solicit a gay guy for
yeah,
sex.
Right.
Right.
A prostitute or a porn star who is also a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then that porn star prostitute guy like tried to extort him.
And then Gawker was like, yeah, we'll be a part of that extortion. That sounds like what journalists do.
So it's one of those things where they got it factually correct, but the blowback from them was like instead of the usual like seedy like media mucking that people kind of have gone to Gawker for in the past, they're like, that's messed up.
Yeah. That's just a random guy. Well, yeah. I mean, the excuse was, oh, it's Tim Geithner's brother.
Yeah, right. That's the closest they got to actually having a good reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
What I also like is that the reason it seemed like people were angry was because they were outing him as being a gay man. So it kind of was like they kind of just they fucked up in that. Had he been going just cheating on his wife with like another woman, I think it would have been, they would have still done the expose, and I don't think it would have been as big of a deal. But I think I think because they outed him, people were like, wait a second, I've read from previous posts that I'm supposed to be against this. And the outrage machine just kind of went crazy.
It led to, for the first time in Gawker history, Nick Denton, the founder and CEO of Gawker, was like, we're pulling this post. This was the wrong tone. You know, like we don't want to do this. We did this the wrong way, you know, basically sorry. And,
Sorry for ruining your life for clicks.
And that was it until, the editor of Gawker, Max Reed, and then the executive editor of Gawker Media.
Uh-huh. Hero number one and hero number two, go on.
Tommy Craggs. And Tommy Craggs, can I just say, Tommy Craggs is one of the most talented writers I know. Mm-hmm. And apparently he is an inspiring editor to have. I think he's super smart guy. But he and Max both objected to this like executive board, you know, having an effect on pulling this editorial post.
Mm.
And what's messed up is that like that editorial post kind of needed to come down. Like,
it wasn't like they pulled it because they're like, oh, this is our advertisers are complaining. I mean, I'm sure that was part of it, but it was also kind of just like, like this has no reason.
I mean, it feels like and I don't know what their feeling about it was, if they said, but it sounded like they agreed that the post was abhorrent and they would have pulled it down themselves. Is that not the case? Or
I think that they might have run like a retraction. Like, I think if it had been like, again, like I've never worked for Gawker. I've done like a couple of like guest posts for my friends who worked there in my, you know, years ago. But like, if I had to guess, if Nick had like talked to Tommy and just gave him like, you know, editorially, this is the wrong thing. Like, we're not in the business of outing people. Like, this looks small and petty and cruel, and that's not the way that I want the new direction of Gawker to be.
Mm.
Like, maybe they could have like done that a little bit more smoothly if it had been in Tommy and Max's control. But the fact that it wasn't, I think really, really obviously bothered them
enough to actually quit.
Yeah, it's one of those things where the optics of it, like the way that it's going to be remembered, is that you know, the top two editors resigned because a post outing a gay man in poor taste that was done in poor taste was pulled down, and so it's going to look like.
You have to be like, you're going to die on this principle, but you're going to forever be associated with this shitty post that you didn't even write.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like, you know, like you might have, there's probably this, there is this huge gray area where they're operating within that is not going to stand the test of time. Mm-hmm. And, oh man, just what a cluster.
Let me just say that if, you know, if Uproxx ever gets in trouble for writing like The 10 quotes from the Big Lebowski that you're still quoting, and then like that gets. I will not resign over the principal to keep that post up. Like you can, if they take it down, I just be like, oh man, that sucks. Anywho, I'm gonna keep doing what I do.
Yeah, but that's because you have no integrity and you're a shill.
Yeah, guess so.
I mean, let me just say
that I've never worked at a place where I thought that like I had like ironclad carte blanche to just post whatever I want all the time.
I mean, does the New York Times have that?
That's what I don't understand. Like, I don't understand if that there's like some assumption that right exists. And I mean, yeah, like that'd be cool, like I guess. But whenever you have like someone that's an editorial higher than you, they can always say like, no, I'm not going to post that.
Yeah. Isn't that what bosses do?
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part. I mean,
that's what I thought.
I mean, I guess it sounds like it was also the first time they ever did this. And it sounded like that everyone kind of,
you know what I think it was? I think it's all of, like people started to believe all of Nick Denton's bullshit.
Uh huh.
Where he was just like, oh, we're dedicated to radical transparency and our principles are like, they did have a lot of fucking mission statements mm-hmm. and like, our business is this and we're doing that. And then people were like, oh, hey, you totally went back on that.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, if you hadn't have spun a lot of that bullshit to begin with,
then people would have been like, well, yeah, that's what you expect from fucking Denton.
Yeah. With this whole thing, like I gobbled it all up. Like everything that was written by Gawker about Gawker, all the writers, you know, and like, I read everything. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is amazing. It was like if you were in a restaurant and they had one of those bathrooms with the one-way mirrors, except actually it was just a window. It was just like an all-glass bathroom. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, I can see everything going on. You're like, oh, that's – oh, that guy's really destroying the stall. But you're like, I can't look away. This is – I can't believe I can see all this.
Yeah,
just to see like internal strife, like all these like internal memos that are like, by the way, here's this that got sent out to all staff. And it's like, I guess the idea is to eliminate this whole idea of like other people reporting on your dirty laundry. And like, you know, instead of, you know, one of your disgruntled employees like leaking it to another outlet, you're like, this is what it is.
Yeah.
And just giving it to people, but like, there is a grand irony in like Gawker was originally set up to report on the media elite and, you know, kind of muckrake through like the backdoor dealings of what was messed up in New York's media, and like the fact that they're basically reporting on themselves as that actual strife is happening within their own company is just a slightly ironic.
Yeah.
Or maybe appropriate. I don't know. I get the two words. Like, I don't know meanings anymore. But
So I was enjoying watching. What was that?
Sorry, my wife is playing with my baby.
That's fine. That is not a problem. Was that the baby laughing or your wife laughing?
That was my wife making a little high-pitched laugh for my daughter.
Oh, I see. So she wasn't actually – she didn't find something that your daughter did funny. She just was, like, trying to show her what laughter is. And
yeah.
That's
yeah.
fun.
So we're trying to teach our baby how to laugh. She's very serious.
Yeah.
She's always, like, doing her taxes and paying bills. We're like, come on.
Very
let's
stern.
Have a little fun.
You throw her – you took her cell phone away. You threw it in the ocean. Yeah. She's like, my whole life was in there.
I was enjoying watching the destruction of Gawker in their comment section, because their comment section is usually there's a lot of like agreeing with everyone and the post and mm-hmm. and whatnot. But this was everyone was just kind of like shitting on every post. Every post was like, yeah, that's kind of interesting. You know what's more interesting? The fact that you outed this man. Fuck you, Gawker. And I was like, yeah, all right, this is fun. And Gawker. So I just like I read this post by Gawker, and I really do detest Gawker and everything that they do.
Well, see, here's the thing. People, that's like a common reaction where it's like, oh, well, fuck Gawker and I hate it. And it's like,
yeah,
there's like 100 and some writers probably on that.
Sure, the network is
and
huge.
And it's like every media company has to do a certain amount of like clickbait and bullshit in order to pay their people who are actually good, because that's just how the fucking advertising model is set up now.
But
also that's how every single industry works, in that like the freaking giant pixels helps pay for like these little artsy fartsy movies that come out from smaller studios that are subsidiaries of the bigger ones. In publishing, like Stephen King and like three other writers
Daniel
keep afloat
Steele.
The entire industry.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's like you think that these companies, you know, put these clickbait posts up because they like them? No, it's because fucking that's what people click on. And for some reason, like the retarded advertising model that exists right now, like weighs that equally with things that people actually read.
Okay,
so
that's
super
fair.
Awesome.
But explain this post that I read this post yesterday, and it made.
Oh, there's a certain amount of people on that site that are just mean spirited dicks that I won't name any names, but
I will. Gabrielle Bluestone, I don't know who she is. She's probably really nice, but this post sucked. It was about Judd Apatow doing a set on The Tonight Show, making fun of Cosby, and. She starts it up. The bravery of comedian Judd Apatow knows no bounds. Last night on The Tonight Show, Apatow returned to his favorite topic, rape. And guess what? He's against it. So bold. I'm like, I hate this writer so much.
I don't know, man. I've seen Judd Apatow. Maybe it's because I've seen him twice, like on the Trainwreck tour. And then like, and I saw him do the Cosby joke.
Right.
And.
But that's a comedian reuses jokes, first
right,
of all.
Right, right. It's not
do.
So much that he's reusing. It's that he's been like sort of harping on this like every day for like a year, it seems like. And
every day
kinda...
he's been calling out Cosby.
Yeah.
Mean? Well, I mean, to be fair, Cosby should be called out a lot. And there's not a lot.
Yeah, but
of,
by who? Like, that's kind
of. There's not a lot of people. I mean, there's like, people who are calling out Cosby in general. But I kind of like the idea that this is another stand-up comedian out there making fun of Cosby. What's wrong with making fun? I don't know.
No, nothing's wrong with it. It's just, I don't know. I feel
do you
weird
think,
about it.
Do you think Cosby or Judd Apatow is doing it just so he can be, what, on, like, the right side of history? Like, or what's...
There's a certain amount of things that Judd Apatow's
is
doing right now that feel like overcompensation to me, and
oh,
I can't
really?
Quite put my finger on why. Like, okay. It's kind of, I don't know, but it's nothing. Yeah, it's nothing that I would write a shitty post about.
It
like
just
that,
like
though.
I just hated the tone. Like right off the bat, it wasn't like, "Hey, listen, I'm a blogger, so I have to share this video because people are gonna click on it." So in this case, he's talking about Bill Cosby and rape and making fun of him. It was like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna attack Judd Apatow and be like, "Oh, you're so brave! Look at you against rape. Well, fuck you!" It's like at some point you just sound like you're for rape. I mean, I just.
Well, but it is kind of weird that Judd Apatow is like the self-appointed lynch mob in this case.
He's hardly a self-appointed lynch mob. He's just a guy who's making a lot of Cosby jokes. I mean, I guess at some point
he's been like fucking like attacking him on Twitter like every day for like a year.
All right. Well, I mean, it's like one of those things where while there were still people out there who were saying that Cosby didn't do it. I kind of feel like it's justified.
I feel weird. It's like it feels weird that he's sort of whipping up the lynch mob, but then like there is a thing where there shouldn't have to be a lynch mob because like the police should have actually done something.
Well,
by
sure,
this point.
Sure. No, I mean, I'm not someone who's saying that there needs to be internet justice or anything like that or a vigilante justice in this case. But I'm just saying he's a comedian.
It's kind of hard that's all we have right now for this one.
Well, yeah. I mean,
like that's the root of the shitty situation. I think.
I mean, for rape in general, it's like that's kind of the only. I mean, for the most part, police can't do that much in many cases of rape. So the only thing to do is public shaming and trying to bring people down in that way. And that's a whole nother can of worms. But,
so wait, you guys are against rape?
I don't know. I'm still on the fence. It's just...
I would say I'm like moderate to mild to moderately against
rape.
I mean... Gotta hear both sides.
You gotta hear both sides. Hashtag gotta hear both sides.
I don't know. That whole situation just makes me feel like, ugh. So it's, Well, it's, I don't know. Yeah, I feel weird about the whole thing.
I mean,
I don't know. That's my very articulate.
Explanation. I definitely feel weird about the fact that I, you know, that Cosby all of a sudden you just realize all these years have been lies of him being this gross dude. But I also, I mean, it'd be different if people hadn't before brought charges against him, and it would just be like it would be obviously the justice system has failed multiple times in trying to convict this guy of being a rapist, and so I feel like at some point what's left to do,
right? But I think you know what it is. It's like I hear about this Cosby shit, and it's all very like icky to me, and so. To hear Judd Apatow like constantly joke about it, it feels kind of like someone's trying to delight in this like intensely icky thing a little bit. I think that's what makes me feel weird about it.
I get you that there's a lot of like Schadenfreude there where he's, you know, probably he's laughing about a situation that pretty much no one is laughing at, you know, like Cosby's not laughing and certainly the victims aren't laughing. At the same time, like, fuck it, man.
And I'm not, I think everybody should joke about everything anytime. Like, I don't think like, oh, there's nothing, there's things you shouldn't.
If you don't like him making jokes about it, that's fine. Just the tone of that fucking post made me want to rip my fucking yeah. eyes out. I was just like, oh my God, what is it? What do you have to be that much of a snark? Like, do you have to, are you paid by the fucking ironic letter? Like, I don't understand. And why the tone was that way, other than just like, you know, there's a certain level of ally. There's certain allies you want and certain allies you don't want. And Judd Apatow is kind of in between because of the movies he makes. There's a lot of criticism about them being, you know, super male centric, which is obviously true. And you know, women kind of conforming to these roles of being the girlfriends and the, you know, and they have to get married and have a baby. And that's what a happy ending is. So it's like,
go ahead.
It's weird for him to be, he's not, you know, Steven Seagal or some shit. I mean, it's like he's an ally you'd want to have. I don't understand why you wouldn't want to have him as an ally. I just don't get it. I think it's just snark for the sake of snark. And it's also just like, I just fucking hate it. I just hate that much negativity.
So two things. The first thing on Bill Cosby and Judd Apatow is that, like, I think that's why everyone's like anti-rape jokes, in that even if you're the anti-dash rape jokes, because even if your rape joke is about you being against rape, you're right. still talking about something that is an insanely traumatic experience for so many people. So that, like, even if you're tackling the sensitive matter in a sympathetic or empathetic way,
yeah, it's a
you're
dangerous
still like
game.
Bringing up this traumatic experience for a lot of people,
right?
And so it's dangerous ground. So
that's in general why rape jokes are something yes. to avoid. I wanted
to clear that, since I had my dry like, well, you guys are against rapes, and I was like, oh, no. But then the other thing, the point number two that I want to talk about, back to the Gawker and an ironic thing is. I'll take you, Matt, on a little walk inside the content factory.
Ooh.
As we go over the killing floor.
Make that sausage, son.
Yep. So as you there's like people with different beats. You've got your editors. You've got your people who are working on like longer stories. They're digging deep on and then you've got people who are your quick hit writers that like they're on the social desk or whatever. And what happens is like there'll be this thing and like, you know, in the mornings like, oh hey, we gotta hit this John Oliver murdered something, John Stewart totally destroyed this, and yeah. like here's the late night show bits that need to be covered on our site because every other site is covered.
They need to destroy something or decimate something.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So a lot of times what happens is like whoever's on that desk is like for a great example of this, this happened the other day in like SB Nation. We covered something else entirely. It was the Fresno Grizzlies, the pride of Fresno, Vince's favorite minor league baseball team.
Sure.
Goddamn, yeah. Goddamn right.
Had a taco uniform. Yep. Where, like, it's they what? Had, like, there was, like, a taco hat, and they had tacos on their jerseys. And we're like, well, crap, we got to put this on our website. And, like, the guy whose responsibility it was, he's like, all right, I got this. But he's worked, like, the minor league, like hokey uniform beat, like, multiple times over the last, like, year or two.
Yeah.
And he's, like, he's had to write up, like, a post for, like, the minor league team that had a Star Wars night. And the minor league team that had, like, every, like, little pop culture reference, like,
right,
that
right.
made a uniform at it. And he's, like, written, like, before, like, someone has to stop these minor league teams, you know? Like, this is too much. And so, like, even though the taco uniform is great because everybody loves tacos, he's like, oh, I got to write about a stupid minor league uniform. And that's what happened here with I'm sure that's what happened here. It's like this perfectly, like, capable, nice writer is like, fine, whatever, this guy, like, went on and talked about Cosby. I gotta do this, like,
right.
Ooh, he's so brave.
Yeah.
It's just someone who isn't having a great day at work.
Uh-huh.
And it's manifested in this negative way that other people are reading. Mm-hmm. It sucks.
I guess, I think that's what it was. It was like, since I saw that, it's like totally kind of a hipster thing to say, but it's right. like, since I've seen that bit live and I've heard it a bunch before, when it hits the internet, because it was on the Tonight Show, it's like you see 50 headlines about it and you're like, oh, look at the whole world coming to this late, and you're kind of annoyed by the whole thing because you're like, fuck you, I already heard about this 2 weeks ago.
Totally. Yeah. I understand that kind of feeling, the feeling of having to do it, and you're like, god fucking damn it, if I have to write another post about Apatow calling out Cosby, I'm gonna shoot myself. Yeah. But explain.
Which is so sad.
Explain the ending. All right. Okay. Maybe one day we'll all feel secure enough to come out against rape. But until then, Hero Apatow is on it. Anyway, what's Hannibal Buress up to these days? That's how it ends.
Yeah,
which is
that part I didn't even get that part.
That's him. That's calling out, like, you know, just like it's basically saying, oh, by the way, Hannibal did it first, so maybe back off. And also,
he's making his own show on Comedy Central.
Right, exactly.
He got, like, largely because of, like, the digging into this, like, serious topic, earned him some serious credibility and notoriety that he really deserves.
Yeah.
He's doing great. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, that's the tone of it came off like to me, and maybe I'm reading too much into this, is like, oh, here's another, you know, Hollywood white man, you know, trying to take credit for something that a black comedian did. And meanwhile, where is Hannibal Buress? And it's like the feeling I got from it was just snark to a degree that I don't know. I couldn't handle. It just made me just want to just choke myself out with a belt.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, that's masturbate. I think what you're looking at is probably an under-caffeinated writer tackling a story first thing in the morning that she probably didn't even want to write about.
Yeah, no, and, I mean, I have some
your
empathy.
Job is to write about, like, media, and all you have to do if you don't want to write about something, just handle it straight. Just give people the information. Like pull one quote or one joke from it,
yeah,
and like let people read it, see if they want to watch it. Like,
yeah,
blogging is not that hard.
Yeah,
like, trying to make every single post like something that like fits within the brand's voice,
right,
or like your credibility. You gotta it's just a video clip. People are gonna watch it or not. Your words are just window dressing. Tell them what's in the clip. They want to watch it, they'll watch it.
Yeah. I do have empathy for a job that you hate and you're just like, I can't do it.
On the subject of shitty think pieces and Judd Apatow, I found my new favorite think piece about Amy Schumer.
Oh, wonderful.
Oh, God.
So now of all the things that could be problematic about her, I mean, she's been problematic
she's
for
human.
A lot of different reasons.
Uh-huh.
She was, you know,
she's a human being.
She's
who
not
eats.
A real feminist. She's a too,
right.
too feminist.
Mm-hmm.
She's not hot enough. She's too hot.
She's racist.
She's racist.
She's not racist enough.
She's not racist enough. My new favorite think piece comes in The Guardian.
Oh, can I try and guess?
Go, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Like, what would be the most ironic reason to criticize a person?
The most ironic reason.
Well, or to worry for them.
I worry that her humor, it doesn't take into account the feelings of animals.
No, this think piece is about. I'll just read the title. Why Trainwreck Success poses a problem for Amy Schumer.
Oh, she's doing too good.
She's too successful. The subheadline: the unexpectedly strong U.S. debut for the comedian's first major movie role is a victory for female-led comedy everywhere.
But
will it pigeonhole its breakout star?
Oh, all right. Okay. So is this a movie review?
No.
It's a think piece, isn't it?
Whereas if this belly flopped and she didn't get another opportunity, she would be forced to continue like pushing the boundaries with her stand-up.
Yeah, she would be free of the expectations of the patriarchy.
You haven't even read a single word and I'm already exhausted. I am preemptively exhausted as you delve into whatever you're going to read from this article.
It's pretty wordy, but I think the a big part of the thesis, I actually just did a control F problematic to find the kicker. But while this is a great result for the undeniably talented Schumer and female comedy in general, it does prove potentially problematic for its star.
Yeah. Tell me more.
I like potentially problematic.
Yeah. I'm not even sure. It's just a theory at this point.
There may be a problem. I don't know what it is, hence problematic. But yeah. I don't know if that's even going to happen. So it's actually potentially problematic.
But let me tell you how it could happen. And here's how I see it unfolding. Go on.
Schumer's brand of humor has always been closely linked to her own sense of self. Blah, 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 blah. But the problem...
Oh, you mean like every fucking... Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The problem she now faces is that the comic who forever jokes about never making it is now the actress who has pretty much made it. She's on the cover of... Yeah.
That's so many comics. Yep. Like, oh, you mean she's self-deprecating? She's the only comic who's ever been self-deprecating.
Yeah. What's she going to do now that she's successful? Maybe ask every successful comedian.
It's the same problem that faces rappers who rhyme about the struggle to get paid and who then get paid more than anyone else listening to their record.
Totally is not a problem. That has never, ever been. Wow. That's a great problem to have, too. I love it.
It's really fucking long. That's the best part. It's a problem that faces anyone whose comedy intersects with their own personality. I mean, just let's unpack that first of all.
Whoa.
I think it's
so if my comedy doesn't intersect with my own personality at all,
then you're good.
It's not a problem.
Yeah,
like if I was a puppeteer.
Yeah, right. I just go up there and tell other people's jokes about their lives. That's what I do. That's kind of my thing. I go like, man, it is really hard being Asian in America. As an Asian, my parents, you should hear them talk. They're always like, why don't you get a job? You should get a job now. When are you going to get married? That's what my parents are like. That's what the thing is about my comedy does not intersect with my personal life. That's the thing. I'm a robot. Actually, I have no personal life nor feelings about things. That's
the guy who designed me was Asian.
Yeah, so.
It's a problem that faces anyone whose comedy intersects with their own personality, especially when they're known for writing their own jokes.
What the fuck?
Wait. Is this like a Mad Libs that is like pulled out of the Guardian's refrigerator and filled in and then microwaved like every time a comic makes a movie?
Well, here's the thing. If you have an act that's about yourself and you write your own jokes.
Yeah.
Could have a problem.
Yeah, definitely. That's why you got to do other people's jokes that they've written about themselves. That you just got to steal material, it sounds like.
Can we ever imagine Tina Fey as anyone but Liz Lemon? Or Jerry Seinfeld as anyone but Seinfeld?
Well, I mean,
Schumer's ascent to movie stardom will now bring her a variety of roles from writers attempting to replicate her voice and offering a watered down version of what she does best.
This is literally what happens to every comic actor. Is this as problematic? Oh my God.
Also, like, Tina Fey is just like choosy about her movies. She's got a new movie coming out where she's the sister of Amy Poehler.
Yeah.
And it's not like she's going to be breaking down like, oh, it was like watching Tilda Swinton in a role.
Like, yeah, these are.
It's not like, oh, Tina Fey failed to break new barriers as an actress. It's like, hey, she did some funny things and was like Tina Fey like character.
Yeah, it's strange that
as long as she's not doing it, oh, I don't know, twice a year in blatant grabs at money to go on vacation with your idiot friends,
right?
Adam Sandler.
Yeah, right.
Then people aren't going to get too tired of it.
Man, I do like the fact that the issue that this writer has with this comedian is that the comedian is not an actor, and just being like, you know what, that's the problem with these comedians, right, is that now they're not going to get any dramatic roles. Right. It's like, good call. That
Amy Schumer's going to have, I mean, her career's never going to be like Daniel Day-Lewis's.
Yeah, never. And it's her fault because she decided to be successful. And I do blame her for that. Mm-hmm. I can see that.
I just didn't buy Amy Schumer as Jane Eyre.
I would watch that.
I actually would too.
Yeah.
I'd watch her as Stevie Nicks.
Mm.
She'd kill it in a Stevie Nicks biopic.
Witchy woman.
I love biopics. So
I know.
Yeah.
Dude, NWA biopic.
Oh, I'm so excited.
As long as
Paul Giamatti's in it, you know,
oh,
I'm
hell
excited.
Yeah.
Any biography movie with Paul Giamatti, I am there.
Is Paul Giamatti gonna play Eazy-E?
I hope so. I'm not sure in this case.
He's like a chameleon. I'll believe him as anything.
Yeah, as long as it's a record producer, and I'll believe it.
I just imagine him. I imagine his Jerry Heller as Pig Vomit from Private Parts, basically. I mean, it's pretty much the same character, right?
I haven't seen it.
What?
Pig Vomit.
You haven't seen Private Parts?
No, never seen it.
What?
No.
It's a pretty good movie.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's his name?
Howard Stern.
Howard Stern, yeah.
Yeah.
I like him.
Sure is.
He's cool. Go on.
No, that's all I got. I was just talking about how much I like Paul Giamatti.
Oh, that's the think piece is done?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, well, there's more, but...
But it's just the same amount of garbage over and over?
Allow it here. I guess I'll go to the final paragraph to fucking figure this out. Allowing Schumer to write her own material, progress as a screenwriter, and control her career is, in theory, the more exciting eventuality.
Oh, my God. Whoa, this conclusion's about to blow my mind.
Right. Especially given her bold take on gender expectations.
Mm-hmm.
If she starts to compromise on what roles she takes, then it will undermine her cutting dissection of how the industry treats women. No one wants to see Schumer go from bride to bridesmaid, offering trailer-ready one-liners while the spotlight is hogged by someone else. TV Amy would never approve.
Ah, all right. So the point is
so, like, she could become a traitor to herself if she falls into the pitfall that this writer has predicted for her.
Man, they really fucking project a lot of shit onto Amy Schumer. They really
do. Insane.
They won't stop until basically until they destroy her, because they're just going to keep saying, oh, you're betraying who you are. And it's like, you don't fucking know her. What are they talking about?
You're betraying one of the six identities we have assigned to you.
Yeah, right. Oh, my God. They just can't stop projecting on her. And you know, even when those consequences become, you know, to the point where they're like, now she's racist and now she's all these other things and she's problematic because she's not this enough or that enough, they still don't realize, like, oh, maybe just let her do her thing. Mm-hmm. And we can enjoy the show, you know, on a level that's not like, I mean, just not blowing it up to the point where it's the best or most feminist art that you can see around.
Yeah.
Oh, man. They're going to eat her alive. That's what they're
going to
try.
One of my favorite parts of my week is right now.
What?
Getting to click the little X above the tab where that think piece lived.
Oh. what feels so good. Sad little life. Sad life you lead.
Yeah.
Do you, Matt, do you ever, like, when you're reading a think piece or anything like that, do you ever look over at your baby and, like, just, like, hold a pillow and think to yourself, I could save this life so much trouble.
No.
Oh, that's good.
No,
I'm glad you don't.
Like, honestly, I wish I could protect her from think pieces, but, you know, it's just you raise them and like, you yeah. know, you're afraid for them. You're afraid for the things that they're going to have to learn. You want to protect them and educate them as best you can about, you know, the dangers facing the world as we move forward, global mm-hmm. warming, handguns, think pieces.
Right. ISIS.
<it's>, yeah. but
you try to protect them, but at some point you just got to let them go. You know?
Yeah. At some point, like, you know, she's going to, you know, she's going to want to surf the web on herself. And I can only hope that she, you know,
finds porn first.
Finds porn instead of Slate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's fair.
Parenting sounds problematic.
It's like one of those things, like as a daughter, like, or as a man who has a daughter, I'm like, I don't want her to be a stripper, but I really don't want her to go into PR.
Yeah, yeah. The choice, you know, it's hard to know what angle they're going to take in life.
Yeah.
So we don't have Brett this week, but he had a pretty good tweet that I wanted to read. GOP debate moderator. What of Iran? Donald Trump. I am a golem made of circus freaks and food challenges. Pistol drone fires wildly into the crowd.
Man, I am having a great time talking about pistol drones run for the GOP nomination with Brett. I feel like ever since it's the quadcopter that like fired a pistol.
Oh yeah, I've seen it. It's great.
And ever since then, Brett and I are obsessed with pistol drone, and like this pistol drone's gonna get the GOP nomination. Like it's everything. It's everything the Republican Party really wants.
Yeah.
Together we will win the respect of Pistol Drone.
You know, like the Pistol Drone just lets its gun do the talking.
Yeah, and right. What are your thoughts about immigration?
Bam, bam, bam. Yeah.
Brett's response to Matt's tweet about Pistol Drone. The crumb bums in Congress hate Pistol Drone because they know he'll shoot our hearts full of hope from the air with a pistol.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the pistol drone is the source of a government investigation right now. Oh, and
really?
It's just like big government to go after pistol drone Second Amendment rights.
Yeah, that's good.
Pistol drone knows that the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is with pistol drone.
Yeah, a flying pistol.
A flying good robot with a pistol.
I saw that video on Reddit first, and then I went to the comment section because I always do. And it was a lot of people talking about how they could defeat the pistol drone.
Yeah.
Just like a lot of people like, oh, that's not even efficient. There's no accuracy on that. Yeah. And
you just see like the actually fire engine like pulling in yeah. and then people jumping off. And, oh no, they're
actually,
invading.
Actually, yeah. No, it was great. I always love when people want to go on a comment section and just talk about how they could, you know, defeat technology. Like, I would roundhouse kick it and that would pretty much take care of that. So thank you. Just imagine.
There's also something, adorably ignorant of like, this is like a civilian hack for something that is like, 1/100,000th of what the military uses against our enemies.
Right. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Like, yes, we have a predator drone capable of killing people from on the other side of the earth. But a quadcopter has a pistol.
Yeah.
I stuck a .45 on this RC car.
How are we gonna defeat it? How?
Good luck, fuckers.
Yeah, man. I can make a tank. It's a RC car with a water gun. All right, sure.
Put a spud gun on my Prius. So I gave Matt Lieb
uh-huh.
a little homework
yeah.
on the bus ride.
Oh, yeah, I did it.
So the reason that I gave you this homework assignment was...
was it to make me mad?
No, it's this Katy Perry tweet. And I really wanted to find out what the fuck she was talking about because uh-huh. it's like the most fabulously obtuse tweet that
right.
I think. It's a subtweet, which I know. Mm-hmm. So I'll read the tweet. It's not as gobbledygooky like when you read it out loud as it is to see on the page, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Katy Perry, finding it ironic to parade the pit women against other women argument about as one unmeasurably capitalizes on the takedown of a woman.
Yeah, I had to read that a few times.
Congratulations, you're Miss South Carolina, USA.
Yeah.
Finding it ironic to parade the pit women against other women argument about as one unmeasurably capitalizes on the takedown of a woman. So, yeah, that was the tweet.
Yeah. So, you know, you don't know what she's talking about.
And I demanded that Matt Lieb find out what she was talking
about.
Okay,
I'll tell you everything. I'll tell you everything that's going on. So,
are you ready?
Are you guys ready for this? News. So, Nicki Minaj was not nominated for a VMA for her Anaconda video.
It's a very important award.
Yeah.
That song, by the way, sounds like she had like 45 minutes in the recording booth and then she had to go home right afterwards.
Yeah. Well, she finished it.
I don't mind Nicki Minaj. I don't particularly love her music, mm-hmm. but I think she's fine, but Anaconda is an atrocity of a song.
Yeah, no, it's terrible.
She let him hit it because he slang cocaine.
Yeah, which I get. I mean, that's like why you let someone hit it.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, I like that it's personal and that she writes lyrics that are personal to her.
Could be problematic.
They're eventually a little problematic because mm-hmm. she might get, you know, pigeon-hoed.
Pigeon-hoed?
Pigeon-hoed. That's what I call it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So she didn't get nominated for VMA.
She didn't, and she went on Twitter and was mad, and saying basically tweets that to the basically I as a black woman basically is like as a black woman we don't get respect at award shows, and if my video had been about skinny women living their lives then you know it would have gotten nominated, and basically. Without saying Taylor Swift, calling out Taylor Swift, I guess. At least that's how Taylor Swift took it.
Uh-huh.
So
she's very sensitive, is she?
She's very sensitive. She's like
that's probably why she's such an artist.
Yeah, well, I mean, she feels, and she just writes what she feels. And if it sells a million records, I mean, that's just...
So be it.
That's so be it. But, you know, she's just doing what she was born to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was mad. And she was like, I've done nothing but support you, and I love you. And maybe it's because some... one of the men took mm-hmm. your spot. Are you filing your nails, Matt?
No, I just moved my computer around.
Okay, it sounded like you're filing your nails. Not that that's a problem. I just didn't know. I didn't know what the sound was.
He made a nice Niçoise salad before you got here.
Oh, yes. Good. Thank God. So then Nicki, you know, is writing back. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. I love you too, but whatever. You should really, you know, check yourself. And then Taylor Swift was like, I love you more, though. And you know, let's share the stage together if I even win. Basically, Taylor Swift's argument was that it was us girls got to stay together. The internet didn't like that so much because of the fact that, you know, lumping in white women and black women as if, like, you know, the problem of race doesn't exist is just... it's problematic.
Okay, we don't know what the problem is. We'll figure it out eventually.
And then so Katy Perry's tweet was saying, basically, oh really? So you're all about us girls stick together when you straight up, you know, profit off of trying to bring me down
because
they have like a blood feud.
Oh shit!
Katy Perry ain't wrong.
You know, that's the thing. I'm not really sure. I don't know what the deal with their feud is. I know that they've had this blood feud forever.
You know why I think they're feuding?
Why?
Because I think Katy Perry, she kind of looks like, you know, her mom's like a hairstylist and she's kind of super Christian-y.
Okay, cool.
You know, she's from that side of the tracks. Whereas Taylor Swift looked like her family, like, be raising horses and shit.
Yeah.
And they probably, you know, they probably don't swing in the same circle.
Oh, I see. So, like Taylor Swift thinks that Katy Perry's like trash.
Yeah, probably.
And like Katy Perry thinks that Taylor Swift is trash.
Katy Perry and Taylor Swift used to be friends.
Oh,
but
shit. Someone from One Direction screwed it up?
No, John Mayer. John Mayer dated Taylor Swift, but then dated Katy Perry.
Oh.
And Katy Perry and John Mayer laughed about what a dork Taylor Swift is. And then Taylor Swift later realized she came to this conclusion after bumping into Katy at like multiple award ceremonies. She was like, wait, is Katy Perry making fun of me? Like she couldn't quite figure out if Katy Perry was laughing or laughing at her.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And then it dawned then that once, you know, they had an ex-boyfriend in common and yeah, so that's why they're not friends anymore. Combination of She thinks Katy Perry's the mean girl, and so
how do you know this?
I used to know calculus.
Yeah, but you're just preparing for having a daughter.
Yeah.
I mean, it is good that you're going to have this information to share with her, you know, later in life. I mean, she's going to have history classes. You're going to be able to tell her.
Imagine him like reading like a children's book, and he's like, and then Taylor Swift said something kind of mean about Katy Perry, and that's why the princess was kind of subtweeting her.
So that is the origin of the blood feud. It has to do with John Mayer, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What were they laughing about? Was it like Taylor Smith got a smelly pussy, or
probably what a weird goofball she is? Like,
yeah, if she is in real life a like cute, innocent, weird goofball, then I am even more in love with her than I was before.
Here's the thing. I really enjoy. I've never heard a Taylor Swift song that is not a single. Like, I've never listened to an album, but like, I think she makes super catchy pop music, and I've had entire weeks of my life that have been owned by Taylor Swift songs.
Oh yeah, I mean, she's wonderful. You know.
However, I look at her and I'm like, she is really pretty.
So pretty.
And she's also pretty. She's got to be terrible at sex.
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, I can't claim to have ever slept with anyone as beautiful as Taylor Swift, so I don't know.
I'm sure that, like, John Mayer, while he was sleeping with Katy Perry, was like, P.S., Taylor Swift is terrible at sex.
Yeah.
She's all like her limbs are flailing around. Yeah, I felt like I was Kyle MacLachlan in Showgirls having sex with Elizabeth Berkley. I'm sure that's exactly what John Mayer said to Katy Perry.
Oh, man. That would be rough. That would be a rough thing to make fun of, you know, because she'd probably be pretty sensitive about that. But also, like, that's John Mayer's fault. I mean, if you have, you know,
and then
if you got Taylor Swift,
John Mayer made it worse by writing a song called "Taylor Swift Fucks Like Elizabeth Berkley in the Pool in Showgirls."
Yeah,
that's a real. It was a black eye for him, but also an embarrassment for Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
I'm gonna fuck in the pool in my husky. I'm gonna scream at the top of my lungs.
Yeah, man.
That's the only thing I know that John Mayer ever wrote.
John Mayer.
Do you think he only dates through his publicist? Because how do you even meet that many like super famous people in a row?
You know they all go to cool parties together, Vince. Come on, don't be thick.
Sorry.
All right? You know that there's a secret world where they all go to their fuck parties and everyone hooks up and it's like Shaq is there and fucking, you know, the lead, John Popper from Blues Traveler is there and like, you know, fucking Nicki Minaj, and they all hang out and they all fuck and we're not invited. We'll never be invited.
Yeah.
John Popper and Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
That's an image.
Oh, man. So many harp solos.
Yeah. He would kill it on that pussy. Like, you know, with his mouth. Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, I mean, like, John Mayer, I just want to smell his dick. Like, you know, like, it probably is just, like, it's 37 different flavors of just, like, I'm just saying, like, he's... Because Taylor Swift to me is like, I don't think there is anyone more beautiful than
really?
Taylor Swift.
Really? That's a weird person to pick.
I don't know. I like her face. I like her mouth. I like she's got this.
You just like the fact that she looks like she's about to put you down.
Yeah, that too. She does look like she's about to say something hella mean to me. And that turns me on.
Like about how your shoes are cheap and you're poor.
Or just straight up like, why are you talking to me? And I'm like, oh, put me down. Yeah, I'm a loser. I'm going to sit at a different table at school. And then just come. Yep.
Taylor Swift is inarguably beautiful, but I also think she should have played the white Asian lady in Aloha.
Yeah. I have not seen Aloha, but who did play the white
Emma Stone?
Oh, right. Yeah. That is a weird casting choice.
All right. So we got a couple email questions. This one isn't a question, but Frauders, going through my Facebook timeline and I saw someone I went to high school with has named his son Revan. I guess he couldn't decide between Reed and Kevin. So he just said, fuck it. I'll do both. I imagine Revan will become a doctor. And as I am dying, I will hear paging Dr. Revan over the PA. Alex, Tim, Mike.
Well, they wouldn't page him. They'd page Dr. whoever his last name is.
Mm.
No, but maybe it was a...
Way to ruin the email, Matt!
Maybe it was the maybe it was the maid, because the maid would definitely call him Dr. Revan.
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
Oh yeah, Dr. Raven.
Yeah.
Come here, please.
I did the racist accent in my head, so you,
yeah, okay,
you didn't have to.
next one is actually this one's actually a question. Hey, Frogcast, I have a film related question. I saw Ant-Man, and while I did think it was a good movie, I couldn't help but constantly think about what could have been if Edgar Wright was still the director. I felt the same way watching the Steve Jobs biopic trailer. At some point, David Fincher was supposed to direct with Christian Bale starring. I thought it was a great combination. Are there other films you can think of where someone was originally involved with the project from the beginning but left early on, leaving it for someone else to continue? Did it ruin it for you because you were thinking about what could have been? Yeah.
Stanley Kubrick, AI, right?
Wow.
That's a movie that would have been fucking amazing if it had been Kubrick.
I would still like to see the Steven Soderbergh version of Moneyball.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Oh, yeah. I would have been way more into that.
Because he said he was going to do it like kind of like a lot of he was going to do a lot of documentary style stuff, like with the real people, mm-hmm. which I've always said that biopics should do. Like, there's no reason that Mark Wahlberg should learn to box in The Fighter when you can just like splice in
right.
the fucking actual fights from that guy. Yeah. So, and that sounded like what Soderbergh was trying to do. So,
yeah,
that would have been awesome.
I would have liked to have seen the Werner Herzog version of Land Before Time. I think that would have been tight. I don't know if he was originally supposed to do it, mm-hmm. but I'd see it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, the thing that was stolen from us is Eric Stoltz as the lead in Back to the Future.
Oh, oh man. Wow. Yeah. That would have changed his career. He was Mask, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, tight. He had a big mask on. That's like a based on a real person. Did you guys know that? I didn't know that as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Is that person still alive?
No, he can't be. With that fucking face, that shit got clipped by a plane long ago. Like, the landing gear fucking hit him right in his fucking
mm-hmm.
weird head.
Mm-hmm.
My mask. I'm sorry.
He pistol drone. He got
knocked out by a pistol drone for sure.
Pistol drone believes in thinning the herd.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Pistol Drone is a supporter of eugenics, but he doesn't call it eugenics.
If anyone else had directed any of the Star Wars prequels,
I
think that would have been. We were robbed of probably some at least mediocre movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I'm excited for the new Star Wars, because I'm like, it can't be worse than the prequels. It can't be.
No,
like J.J. Abrams is a competent enough director to make it at least kind of good.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, J.J. Abrams, did you know that he sometimes acted in movies?
When?
He was in that movie Six Degrees of Separation. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
It's like got Will Smith. Uh-huh. He plays like a con man type guy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's in that. I was just watching it with some friends and I was like, is that fucking J.J. Abrams? And he was acting and he was pretty good.
You guys have the same glasses.
We do. He didn't have glasses in that movie though.
Oh, how did you recognize him?
I recognize his stupid, you know, his
he's got
stupid
that nose that kind of looks like a butt on the front, huh?
Yeah, he's got the butt nose. That's mm-hmm. how I recognized him.
Okay.
Here's something I just learned from Business Insider.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Molly Ringwald.
Is dead.
Yes.
I knew it.
She said that Molly Ringwald said that she was offered Julia Roberts' role in Pretty Woman.
What?
Oh.
See, I always thought Molly Ringwald was pretty, but
I think so too.
Oh my God, are you kidding? She's to me one of the most beautiful women ever.
I always liked her.
More beautiful than Taylor Swift, I'll say that.
Yeah, boom, take that, Tay Swift.
Yeah. You fuck weird, bitch. I'm sorry, that's mean.
Leonardo DiCaprio turned down Dirk Diggler in Boogie Nights.
Oh, that's.
Yeah, that would have been. I'm glad it was Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
That's his perfect role, really.
Yeah.
All right.
But also, DiCaprio would have been amazing.
Yeah.
No, he'd have killed it.
No.
Yeah, he'd have been
amazing. I'm not as high on DiCaprio as everybody else is.
DiCaprio is the best actor
who's
ever
lived.
No, he's
not. He's passable.
He is the best actor.
No.
Did you ever see Blood Diamond? I rest my case.
Achia, it's bling bang.
Yeah. Where is the diamond? That's not him, but. Do you see a diamond? Where is the diamond?
Okay. This is amazing. Al Pacino turned down an offer to play Han Solo in the original Star Wars.
Jesus Christ. That would have been really bad.
Hoo-ha, Chewie.
Yeah. God.
Man, they must have
never
tell
me the odds.
A lot of people must have turned down that role because Patton Oswalt has the bit about Nick Nolte like turning down Han Solo.
Oh, hell, Chewbacca. Go fix the goddamn hyperdrive.
That's a really good impression. That was very good.
All right, so we got one last question from the emails.
Mm-hmm.
This one's like kind of long. It's actually it's like a real question. Like they want life advice and shit.
All right.
You guys ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, let's do it.
Ahoy, Fraudcasters. I come before you, a man in need of the solid, impartial advice I've heard you dish out to countless other lovelorn listeners. I count you among my very closest pretend friends, so I trust you to feel some duty to help me out of the pickle I find myself in.
Sure.
To cut a very, very long story short, my girlfriend of 6 years and I broke up late last year.
Oh.
Matt, I feel your pain, buddy. Chin up.
Well, I'm gonna be all right.
Though we've been separated since then, we never really stopped seeing each other and recently started discussing getting back together. Now, she's recently gone to Europe on holiday, and while there is meeting up with an old flame of hers who lives there. This dipshit was always kind of inappropriately hanging around for the duration of our relationship, and although she'd get defensive and play things down, I always felt there was more to it.
Mm.
I would occasionally stumble across evidence too, flirty messages back and forth, that kind of thing. So it
that's not stumbling. I just want to say that is spying, but go on.
So it wasn't just paranoia. Anyway, she's with him and two other friends for 4 days, drinking and partying on some beautiful sunny beach somewhere, and I'm convinced they'll hook up.
Yep.
Even some of her more insensitive friends have said to me, oh, something's definitely going to happen with those two. So my question is this. If she hooks up with this guy, do I consider that she, quote, got it out of her system and we still get back together when she returns? Or does it mean that all my suspicions during our relationship are confirmed and I can never really trust her again? Obviously, option C is that they hook up, fall in love, get married on top of a mountain, and live happily ever after, and I die alone. For the sake of my emotional well-being, let's ignore that one for now.
That final option is the best option except for him dying alone. I mean, I don't know what's, here's the thing.
What was option C? I thought he was option C was them getting married on a mountaintop.
Yeah. And then he dies alone.
Why would he die alone? Because he got married.
No. She marries the other dude.
She marries the other dude.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a hell of a lot more likely than him ever having a decent relationship with her.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So she is, probably,
wait, can we assign some names here? Because like we got two guys who are just calling him.
Okay, Greta.
Who's the guy that wrote in?
Okay, that's Greg.
Well, no, oh, so his pseudonym? So his name is Toby Mike, the guy who wrote in.
Toby Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just call
Toby
him
Mike.
All right, fine. Toby Mike.
Toby Mike.
I like.
And then the new guy is named Revan.
Okay, he's Revan. All right.
Yeah, the sketchy Europe guy.
Listen, Toby Mike, if you're not like if you're even thinking about this guy Revan and what feelings Kathleen. I'm just calling her Kathleen.
That's fine.
If you're concerned about anything, like if Kathleen and Revan is part of your thoughts about Kathleen, then it's already over, man. Like,
because
the only sensible relationship you can have in our world with like all this technology and texts and Facebook messages, social media that you're stalking and shit. The only way that you can ever have a healthy relationship is if you just like wholeheartedly 1000% trust the other person.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And if you're worried about like what they have done in the past, what they are going to do in the future, you know, what are her feelings towards him versus you, you've already lost. Like that it's already over. And like I don't deny, I'm sure you have amazing chemistry. You know, chemistry is great for sex and very little else. Like
they also used it to make toothpaste and like household supplies.
Chemistry does
a lot of other stuff.
I mean,
but
you can waste $100,000 like studying chemistry at a college, I guess, and then get like a job making stuff. But when it comes to the language of love, chemistry is a language here, not a science. I don't know.
Yeah, but, no, you're right. You're right.
I get really confused with metaphors.
But the
important thing to know is that this is over, and every minute you spend trying to invest in this quote unquote relationship with this person who is not your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Is a wasted minute of your life.
I mean,
let me just say, well, you know, to anyone who's ever broken up with someone and then gotten back together again? Like, do you know anybody where they've broken up?
Worked.
Yeah, where
yeah,
that's
no,
worked?
Never.
No.
There, I was going to say, you guys broke
or
up
Or, like, if
for...
you broke up and got back together and then you broke up for good, did you not feel like that second time that you got back together you shouldn't have done? You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. You guys broke up for a reason, and it could have been, you know, maybe it was logistics or maybe it was something else, but if trust is an issue before you guys are even actually back together, yeah, it's dust. There's no way, because you're gonna be worried about this guy, and then or there'll be some other person, or you know, a coworker. Just throughout life, there's always gonna be someone who is gonna be close to Kathleen, and you're gonna be worried about it. So it's not worth it to put yourself through that emotional turmoil. Trust is the most important part.
Other people's genitals aren't something that you need to get out of your system.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
Ooh, I am totally in love with this person. I just got to go. I just really need to fuck someone else first. And then I can spend the rest of my life happy with you.
There's no number of penises or vaginas that you can have that'll make you go, okay, now I'm ready to commit to you fully. I mean,
no.
A commitment like that is about being ready to be with someone and trusting them to a point and being like a partner to them, you know, 100%. I mean, partners in crime. It's just like, I mean, I just look at any relationship that I've had where we've, you know, I've broken up with, like, my last girlfriend. We broke up for a couple of different reasons, but none of them were trust. Had it been I didn't trust the dudes that she was hanging around with, or not so much the dudes, but her. Like, I didn't trust some of the dudes that hung around her because she's really pretty. And I know dudes want to bang anybody. They don't care who they're with, as long as, even if they're married, some dudes don't even care. But I was just like, I was good. I was like, well, I know she's not going to do anything, so yeah. I feel fine.
And there's the other
right
option.
Right now, there's one person, one man laughing, right? There's and he's going, I totally fucked Roxanne. And I'm like, fuck you. Don't laugh. Now I understand Katy Perry.
And there's the other. Well, there's the other option where it's like, oh, you know, I hold up. There's the possibility that she might bang someone else. But if I don't really know about it, what do I care?
There is that too. I mean, but that's obviously, he's not okay with
it. As long
that.
As you're not thinking about it, then who cares? But that problem is thinking about it in the first place.
Yeah. You were with her for 6 years. That you got to remember the reasons you broke up. That's the one thing that's kept me from making the mistake of trying to get back together, or not so much even that, just trying to feel better about the breakup. Like, I'm sad about the current breakup, but I while I'm sad in that, like, I miss her and the times we had together and the feelings, I also remember, I have to remember why we broke up and go like, oh right, we needed to break up.
Snuggly Rock doesn't exist anymore.
Needed to fall.
Yeah,
it was Snuggly Rock's foundation just wasn't solid enough.
Fell into the narrow sea.
It did. It fell into the narrow sea.
We didn't land on Snuggly Rock.
Snuggly Rock
landed on us.
Yeah, very softly. It's a very soft rock.
All right. Well, I think we got to wrap it up. Matt's got to go, and I gotta
eat that Niçoise salad,
oh,
man.
Dude, it's calling your name.
Yeah, there's like, I steamed some green beans. Oh. We got some boiled red potatoes that we've dipped them in butter with some chives.
Nice.
So they're ready to go.
Dude, good job on the red potatoes, because, you know, I always say those russet potatoes, unless you're making French fries, those are just garbage potatoes that don't really, there's nothing to do with the red, like, russet potatoes are crap. There's no reason to eat those.
I mean, like any red-blooded American, I enjoyed like a stuffed baked potato, but like, I also, like, that's just empty calories. I can do better than that for myself.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, this thing's big enough to shove a lot of sour cream and cheese and shit into, which I respect.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on. You know, you got your pot. Go ahead and plug whatever you need to plug.
Hey, guys. My name's Matt. My last name is spelled Ufford, U-F-F-O-R-D. If you go at Matt Ufford, that's me on Twitter. Give me a follow. I'll be your internet pal. And from there, you can find great things like my NFL podcast called The Inactives. You can see great SB Nation videos. I make YouTube videos for my day job, and every now and again, I'll even actually write something on the internet that you can just read. I'm a triple threat. That's
motherfucking multi hyphenate over here.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. All right. Thanks, guys. Matt, you want to take us on out of here?
Oh, thank you so much for listening to the Film Drunk Fraudcast. Thank you. I want to say thanks to Vince Mancini for writing Film Drunks every day. I want to say thanks to Matt Ufford for writing SB Nations every day. I want to thank my manager, Jordan Tilzer. He's killing it. I want to thank my parents, raising me good. Congratulations to my sister. And if you want to leave a voicemail, call the Google Voice number
415-275-0030.
Yeah, and if you want to email us, ask a question, just email Vince Mancini.
No, fraudcast@gmail.com.
Fraudcast@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at Lieb12345678. Follow Vince Mancini at Vince Mancini. What's it?
Film Drunk.
At Film Drunk. And thank you so much. Want to thank Brett and Ben. And enjoy that Niçoise salad. Good flights and eat the beans.
Cool.
That's it.